And let's get back to our top story, the disappearance of that Egypt Air flight going from Paris to Cairo. There are concerns that the plane may have been brought down on purpose. Sir John Sars is the former head of MI6. That's the UK's secret intelligence service. He's now chairman of Macro Advisory Partners, which advises companies and governments on geopolitical strategy. He's with us from London. Sir John Sars, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you.
And I first just want to get your thoughts on the news today of this Egypt airplane that was carrying 66 people disappeared this morning. What kind of questions are you wondering as you watch what's going on there? And there are obviously big questions about whether this was a terrorist attack.
Well, exactly. And obviously our concerns are with the family of the victims, first of all. There was no evidence, as far as I can see, to go on at this stage. There wasn't any distress signal. It wasn't as if there was a warning to the pilots that they were able to relay to air traffic control. So it is quite a mystery. Obviously, one can't rule out at this stage that it was a terrorist attack, but the investigators will have to keep an open mind at this early stage.
Why do you think that airplanes, and of course, as we said, we don't know if this was a terrorist attack, but certainly there have been terrorist attacks and attempted terrorist attacks involving airplanes in the past. Why are airplanes such a target for terrorists?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons for it. Of course, 9/11 was the most spectacular example of a terror attack using planes. Then they were used not just to kill the people on board, but as flying bombs. I think it's a dramatic statement of power. And of course, it engenders what terrorists are trying to bring about, which is terror, it's fear. People changing their day-to-day lives to take account of the actions of those terrorist groups. This isn't the sort of dramatic crash that we've seen before, but there have been recent attacks. There was the attack indeed on another plane, this one flying out of Egypt, out of Sharm el-Sheikh last year. And that was claimed by a group on the ground inside Egypt. It looks as though this is more complicated. It's unclear yet whether this was a terrorist attack, and indeed if it was, what sort of group might have been responsible. So many, many more questions at the moment. What the investigators have to do is retrieve the black box flight recorders, study whatever evidence they can find, study the flight trajectory of the plane, how suddenly it tipped out of the air, and try and retrieve as much of the remains as possible.
What do you think is the biggest vulnerability right now in the global airport airline system that terrorists could take advantage of?
Well, I wouldn't want to go into too much detail on that, Jeremy, at this stage. I think every airline, every airport, it has increased its security over recent years. What security agencies need to have is an accurate picture of the terrorist organizations that pose a threat. And I recall when I was a chief of MI6 during the London Olympics, we felt at that time that we had a decent picture of where the terrorist threats were coming from, which organizations, which groups of people, both in the UK and elsewhere, and we were able to disrupt them. I think part of the problem now, in the wake of the Syria crisis and the emergence of Islamic State, is that there's a whole new generation of people that have been drawn towards extremist organizations and who could pose a threat. So the highest priority is getting our arms around these individuals and the nature of the groups that are posing a threat. That's a job for intelligence, requires a degree of surveillance of the individuals of concern. But I think that is the biggest single challenge.
We'll continue to follow this story, of course, but I want to ask you about some other things, including something that you just wrote about in a newspaper there in London, involving whether the UK should stay in the European Union and what it means from a security perspective. Tell us what you think.
Well, my view is that the European Union provides an important basis for stability, democracy, and human rights across Europe. It's less than 100 years ago that Europe was embroiled in not just one, but two wars. as a result of democracy being set aside, of human rights being trampled upon. And we can't take democracy and human rights for granted. So I think the first and most fundamental point is that the European Union is a factor for stability and democracy across the European Union, across Europe, at a time when there are plenty of stresses on Europe, whether they're economic or from the migrant flows or from Russia or wherever. The second point is that the European Union isn't responsible for security. It doesn't have intelligence agencies like the CIA or the FBI. Those all rest with the member states like Britain, France, Germany, and so on. And they cooperate with one another. But the European Union does provide a legal framework which very much assists the fight against terrorism and against organized crime. For example, sharing data amongst European countries, sharing travel records of people who are about to arrive in your country, being able to deport people more rapidly, being able to exchange DNA data or criminal records between countries. All this is vastly better than it was just a few years ago, thanks to the European Union.
So what would happen if the UK were to leave from that perspective?
Well, I very much hope the UK doesn't leave the European Union. I think it would be against our economic interests. It would be against our security interests. I think that on the security side, we would find ourselves excluded from the discussions within the European Union. I think discussions on things like the balance between privacy and security would come to a different endpoint if Britain wasn't part of that debate. But I think given the scale of the terrorist threat that we face across Europe, actually, we do have to make sure that the fundamental underpinnings of a secure society are in place. Day-to-day cooperation between the agencies will continue, but that legal framework, which has delivered a good deal for European countries, will be removed for Britain, and that will be a negative impact.
As the migrant crisis has gone on in Europe, one of the things that's been worked out is a deal with Turkey. And one of the things that's being talked about is to allow Turks to enter the EU without visas. Now, one of your predecessors, Sir Richard Dearlove, has said that the EU without visas for Turkey would be like storing gasoline next to the fire one is trying to extinguish. What do you think of those comments?
Well, you'll have to ask Richard Dearlove to explain those sorts of comments himself. But I think he's being alarmist and he has been out of the intelligence profession for over 12 years. So he is a bit out of date on these issues. There is undoubtedly concern in Europe about the numbers of migrants that have flowed into the continent, largely as a result of the conflicts in Syria and in Libya. Now, these are issues which the EU has to get to grips with. Turkey actually has been a rather successful country economically over the last 10 years or so. There are several million ethnic Turks already living in places like Germany, and they contribute to the growth that the European Union has enjoyed in the last few years. So I don't share Richard Dearlove's view of these things. I don't diminish the fact that there is a problem there, but I think exaggerating it only heightens people's fears and doing so unnecessarily.
So you think that Turks should be able to have visa-free travel into Europe?
Well, it doesn't affect the UK very much because it's not visa-free travel across the whole of the European Union. It's confined to the so-called Schengen area. So it's really a matter for Germany, France, Italy, Spain and others as to whether to allow Turkey in. Now, the Turks are playing a very important role in dealing with the migrant crisis that swamped Europe last year. Now, obviously, they need something in return for carrying the burden of so many refugees coming out of Syria. The real problem, of course, is Syria. It's nothing to do with Turkey. The real problem is that Syria remains mired in conflict. Over half the Syrian people have been forced to flee from their homes. About 500,000 Syrians have been killed in this conflict. And the real way to stop this migrant problem is to solve the problem on the ground in Syria. That still remains some way off, but I think there is progress in building up the ceasefire, consolidating that, getting humanitarian aid through so that people can return to a more normal life.
That's Sir John Sars, who was the head of the UK Secret Intelligence Service, MI6, from 2009 to 2014. He's now the chairman of Macro Advisory Partners. Sir John, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed. Thanks, Jeremy.